Chapter 1. December 2011. Sergeant Ronald Blackmer never heard the round before it hit, but registered the whine of a ricochet right next to his head and felt a sliver of rock slice into his cheek. He slammed lower behind the outcropping and felt his face, seeing blood on his assault gloves. His platoon leader, First Lieutenant Blake Alberti, threw himself into the prone and said with black humor, "You get our asses out of here, and I'll get you another Purple Heart." Blackmer said, "I've got nothing else to work with. The 81s won't reach and the Apaches are dry." Another stream of incoming machine gun rounds raked their position, and Alberti returned fire, saying, "We're in trouble, and I'm not going to be the next COP Keating." Both from the 25th Infantry Division, they were part of a string of combat outposts in the Kunar province of Afghanistan. Ostensibly designed to prevent the infiltration of Taliban fighters from the nearby border of Pakistan, in reality, they were a giant bullseye for anyone wanting a scalp. Attacked at the COP on a daily basis, they still followed orders, continuing their patrols to the nearby villages in an effort to get the locals on the government's side. The mountains of the Kunar province were extreme and afforded the Taliban an edge simply by putting the Americans on equal terms. Everything was done on foot, and the mountains negated artillery, leaving the troops reliant on helicopter gunship support. The same thing COP Keating had relied on when it was overrun 2 years before. The incoming fire grew in strength, and Alberti began receiving reports of casualties. They were on their own and about to be overrun. A trophy for the Taliban. Blackmar heard the platoon's designated marksmen firing, their rifles' individual cracks distinctive among the rattle of automatic fire, and felt impotent. As the forward observer, he knew the purpose of his entire career had been to provide steel on target for the infantry he supported. He was the man they turned to when they wanted American firepower. And now he had nothing to provide, his radio silent. Alberti shouted, they're flanking, we need the gunships. Blackmar was about to reply when his radio squawked. Kilo 79, this is Texas 13, you have targets? He said, yes, what's your ordnance? 500-pound GBU. GBU? A fast mover with JDAMs? He said, what's your heading? The pilot said, don't worry about it. I'm a buff, way above you. Blackmar heard the words and couldn't believe it. He'd called in everything from 81-millimeter mortars to F-15 strike aircraft. But he'd never called fire from a B-52 Stratofortress. Not that it mattered, as the 500-pound JDAM was guided by GPS. He lazed the Taliban position for range, shacked up his coordinates, and sent the fire request. The pilot reported bombs out, asking for a splash. He kept his eyes on the enemy, waiting. Nothing happened. Alberti screamed, "You hit the village! You hit the village! Shift! Shift!" The village? That damn thing is 700 meters away. He checked his location and lazed again, now plotting the impact danger close as the enemy advanced. He repeated the call with the new coordinates and waited for the splash. Alberti shouted again, "You're pounding the fucking village! Get the rounds on target, damn it!" Blackmar frantically checked his map and his range, shouting back, "I'm right, I'm on target, the bombs aren't tracking." The volume of enemy fire increased, and Alberti began maneuvering his forces, forgetting about the firepower circling at 30,000 feet. Blackmar called for another salvo, recalculating yet again. No ordnance impacted the enemy. 30 minutes later, the American superior firepower meant nothing, as the fight went hand to hand.